Hey, today we're going to do something a little bit different. Today we're going to consider questions from listeners. The first is about experiencing pain during an MRI. Candace writes, I had a big headache and felt really dizzy as soon as I got near the machine. When it was all over, I could barely stand. The second is from a listener who writes, I listened again to your podcast number 11 on finding a local EMF consultant, and I noticed you didn't recommend a source like, and then he puts the link in for the Building Biology Institute. Should I be wary of this site? Medical imaging and finding a great local EMF consultant coming up.
EMF Remedy is dedicated to helping you understand which electromagnetic threats are present in your home, and whether in the context of your current home, one you're considering for purchase, or building a new home with comprehensive protection designed in, EMF Remedy can help you reduce your family's exposure to harmful, man-made electromagnetic radiation.
Hi, this is Keith Cutter with EMFRemedy.com, and you're listening to Reversing Electromagnetic Poisoning, where we help you take control of the harmful man-made electromagnetic radiation in your home. Couple of quick things, then into our questions. Do you really want to reverse the electromagnetic poisoning in your life? If so, here's my quote of the day, this one from Hippocrates. Before you heal someone, ask him if he's willing to give up the things that made him sick. I'm not a healthcare provider. I heal houses, if anything. But I do help many people with in-home assessment and remediations of harmful man-made electromagnetic radiation. Some have trouble with follow-through, though. Implementing the remediation plan, I want to encourage you to follow through and retest to verify measurable reductions. Number two, limited time offer mentioned in the pre-roll on this episode. You can have a voice in steering the direction of this podcast. Doors will be closing next week as we hope to have the steering group, if you will, in place by then. One other quick thing. On the website, emfremedy.com, if you go to the page for the podcast, you'll find a new feature there. I'm experimenting with something. It's a way of giving verbal input. You can ask a question or leave a note of gratitude for the podcast or the YouTube or whatever you like, if you want to share something uplifting with the world. And then I can actually incorporate that into a podcast, and so we can share it with others. So if you're interested in doing that, it's painless. Navigate to emfremedy.com, go over to the podcast page, and down near the bottom, you'll see the opportunity to leave a voice message. All right, medical imaging. I don't have personal experience with MRI harm, but maybe some listeners do, and I told this listener that I would include her letter, so let's get into this. So let me offer a definition of what medical imaging is. That's the broader context, and then where MRI fits in. So medical imaging describes intentional human exposure to man-made radiant energy for the purpose of visualizing and capturing detailed non-invasive images of the body's internal structures, organs, tissues, or physiological processes, aiding in the diagnosis, monitoring, and treatment of medical conditions. So let's quickly list some of the common types of medical imaging. X-ray imaging is powered by, guess what? X-ray radiation. That's up in the ionizing part of the spectrum. That's beyond visible light, beyond ultraviolet, and into the what's called ionizing radiation. I don't think it's as big a difference as we make it out to be. The thing I will note is the higher you go in frequency, even in the non-ionizing part of the spectrum, the higher the frequency, the more energetic. So you could say X-rays are more energetic than light, which is more energetic than millimeter waves, and et cetera. Frequency range, you don't need to know this. There won't be a quiz, but it's like really tiny little waves. So between 1/100th of a nanometer and 10 nanometers. That's kind of the range of X-rays. So I'm not really going to go into what that's commonly used for, but anyway, CT scans, computed tomography scans, those use, guess what? I bet not very many people get this one. CT scans are powered by X-ray radiation as well. Did you know that? MRI, this is the substance of our listener Candace's question. That's powered by radio frequency radiation and strong magnetic fields. Interesting, right? Ultrasound, they claim, does not use electromagnetic radiation. It's simply ultrasound waves, right? Okay. In the range of 2 to 18 million cycles per second. Now, normal hearing, because ultrasound, like above sound, right? Normal hearing is between 20 and 20,000. And we're talking about 2 to 18 million. Whatever. We'll just say, we'll call it radiant energy. So this is man-made radiant energy in the range of 2 to 18 megahertz. PET scan, positron emission tomography, it's powered by, guess what? Gamma radiation. Yes, gamma radiation. Something related, single photon emission, computed tomography, or SPECT, S-P-E-C-T. That one's powered by gamma rays as well. And then there's fluoroscopy, and that uses continuous X-rays. Yeah, kind of interesting. So real-time for moving images on internal structures, and often used for procedures like angiography or guided interventions. Mammography, that is the intentional radiation of the human breast with X-ray radiation. Okay, so the listener's question, here's her first email message to me. I found your podcast today and started listening. I'm enjoying it so far. I discovered I'm sensitive to electromagnetic fields when I got an MRI. And it was a horrible experience. I was angry that I was not prepared for how much is going to hurt, and then found out for most people it doesn't hurt. I'm interested to see if you discussed that in your podcast. Well, the answer is now we do. Anyway, my hope is that the medical community will recognize that for some people it can be painful, and for that warning to exist, like potential side effects are listed for medications. Okay, so it made me so sad to think how they put animals and babies in those things and put no consideration into whether or not they're being tortured. I would also like to see it recognized that some people can't have MRIs done, and what alternatives are given in those cases. For me, I told my doctor I wouldn't do another one unless absolutely necessary, or for a study to show the effects on someone like me. Well, that's generous. But in most cases, I would refuse, and I have. I'm certain I'm not alone. I wrote back to her and I said, hey, thanks for reaching out. Not experienced with this exactly. Curious as to whether you've got other sensitivities. Yeah, is it all right with you if I share your name and this question? She said, yep, you're welcome to share my name and this question. I don't know about other forms of EMF, but I haven't tried specifically eliminating things yet to see if there's a difference. I feel like there is, and if I start noticing, I will feel it, but the MRI was noticeable. I could feel it going through me. It felt like I was being stabbed by lightsabers and my insides were being scrambled around. Wow. I was convulsing involuntarily, but I guess I was keeping myself still enough that they didn't notice and it didn't affect the images. My heart started squeezing and I thought I might actually die on the table. But I was able to concentrate and slow my heart rate consciously by controlling my breathing. Wow, good for you for having that skill. I don't know why I didn't stop the thing, except I knew my grandma had just had one, and I thought if she could handle it, then so could I. And it wasn't until later that I realized she probably didn't have the same experience that I did. Wow, They were preparing me for what when the dye would be injected, because some people have reactions to that. Yeah, you think? But when they announced to me that it was being injected, I was already in the midst of chaos. It did worry me that it would get even worse, but I didn't feel anything related to the dye, and I thought the whole thing was absurd. I had a big headache, felt really dizzy. As soon as I got near the machine, when it was over, I could barely stand and asked the nurse person if I could stay and sit for a while she cleaned up, because I couldn't walk. She said it was fine. Why she didn't notice I was not well, I don't know. Then when I felt like I should go, I got as far as the chairs outside the room and I had to sit down again and passed out. No one was around to notice me. Eventually, I woke up and left feeling unsure if I was safe to drive, but I did. I got home okay. I had something that needed to be removed surgically that they saw in the MRI. When it was time to have the surgery, they wanted to do, guess what, an MRI to place a guide wire for the surgery. That's when I refused. Good for you. I told them if they needed precision, there was no way they were going to get it with me convulsing like I did before. They were able to insert the wire with an ultrasound, but they weren't sure they would be able to. I told them they had to. Thankfully, it worked out. Now that I'm listening to your podcast, I'm starting to work on eliminating things so I can pay attention to other sources. Thank you for what you are doing, Candace. Okay, so let's discuss. First, a bit of commentary and context. I have 5 points I want to share. I have no personal experience, as I said, with MRI harm, but maybe other listeners do, and you guys ought to communicate. So my focus is on the home, getting the harmful man-made electromagnetic radiation in your home under control. So this is a bit of a departure. This isn't advice of any kind, certainly not medical advice, but personally, I don't willingly allow myself to be exposed to man-made radiant energy without carefully considering the risks and the potential benefits. I don't go through airport scanning machines. I don't go in through the millimeter wave doors in a grocery store when I can help it. There are a lot of things that I do to avoid. I don't go hang out at the library like I used to, just because of all the radiant energy exposure, non-native. Number two, the FCC is obviously a captured agency which serves the very organizations they're supposed to regulate. There's a book to this effect called Captured Agency, available as a free download on Harvard University's website. Number three, there's a book from 2014, mind you, called Science for Sale by Dr. David Lewis. It presents a compelling case that, guess what? Science is for sale. Science is for sale. Can you believe it? Wow, news. Science in general for quite some time. Even see this clearly in The Body Electric, written way back in the 80s by Dr. Becker. Point number four. I will call it recent unpleasantness of the last 4 years, to my mind, is a clear indication that sometimes things promoted as helpful may actually be harmful. What a thought. The recent unpleasantness of the last 3 years, to my mind, is a clear indication that sometimes things promoted as helpful may actually be harmful, or perhaps potentially more harmful than helpful. Number five, if you read Arthur Furstenberg's The Invisible Rainbow, you know that he ascribes he calls it EHS, electrohypersensitivity, to too much medical imaging, specifically dental x-rays. Isn't that interesting? So we're supposed to believe there's this huge difference between ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. And yet, Arthur Furstenberg says that he became sensitive from too many dental x-rays. Isn't that interesting? So with all these things in mind, who will guard the guardians themselves comes to mind for me. Who's looking after our interests with regard to intentional human exposure to man-made radiant energy? So I've got a unique perspective because I don't need any reports. I don't need any research. I don't need any books. I don't need anybody to lecture me. I don't need any of that. Because I know beyond a doubt that RF radiation exposure, which was allowed, it was within parameters, you know, agreed by the supposed, you know, entities that are looking out for our well-being, almost four decades ago, destroyed my health. Really. And it took 33 years before I learned what was happening, and nobody was looking out for my health. And for some reason, all the medical doctors who treated me over 30 years were unable to diagnose the root cause. So when you've had an experience like that, it gives you a little bit different perspective. The books I've mentioned, my personal experience, Lewis's, Becker's, Furstenberg's, the FCC, none of this is specific to an MRI, but all of this together makes me wonder, so I thought I would share these thoughts. And then turn this question over to you, dear listeners. Could you believe Candace's experience with an MRI? Have any of you experienced anything similar, either from MRI or any other type of medical imaging? I'm interested in hearing the stories. Do you have some experience in this area? Use the comment form at emfremedy.com. In the meantime, hey, thanks again, Candace, for sharing. Next topic. A friend of the podcast contacted me on finding an EMF consultant. And he said, quote, I listened again to your podcast number 11 on finding a local EMF consultant and noticed that you didn't recommend a source like, and then he gives a link to the buildingbiologyinstitute.org. Should I be wary of this site? Great question. Thank you for posing that. In a word, no. But let's discuss this a little bit. So when he says episode number 11, by the way, that was season one, not season two. So that was way back in December 26th of 2022. I had just written an article, had an article published. It was published as a feature article in the summer of 2022, quarterly journal of the Weston A. Price Foundation called Nourishing Traditions. I was motivated to write that article because there are a lot of people who can't afford to have an EMF assessment done, much less by a meter or much in the way of assessment, remediation items, nothing like that. And I had lost everything from EMF poisoning, and I was sympathetic to folks like that, still am. I imagine people living under bridges somewhere and not knowing what was wrong with them. And I've just been trying to get the word out in as many ways as I could. And what happened was I started getting lots of inquiries because people were interested in the article. And if you want a copy, by the way, contact me. I'll get you a copy of that. But they wanted to know who would I recommend in their local area to work with. And after researching some of these, you know, I know a lot of people in the industry, but the United States is a big place. And my heartfelt belief is that a qualified local resource is the best. And of course, that doesn't benefit me, right? So I'm doing the podcast, the YouTube and whatnot, and now I'm encouraging people to go find a qualified local resource to work with because I believe that's the best thing. But only if you can find one that is any good at what they're doing. And I think we need like 10,000 more qualified EMF consultants in the U.S. Am I really happy to have people taking all the teaching for my podcast and YouTube channel and then work with a local resource? Absolutely. Absolutely, I am. I want to encourage you in three things. One is, here's a quote from George Bernard Shaw. Beware of false knowledge. It's more dangerous than ignorance. And unfortunately, there are people out there who purport to be EMF consultants. I'm not talking about building biologists here necessarily. I'm talking about the bigger universe of EMF consultants. But there are those who I believe are spreading false knowledge. So you need to make sure the consultant you choose is competent. I would ask respectfully if I've helped with solid, trustworthy EMF wisdom through the podcast or the YouTube channel, would you consider making a donation, either one time or monthly, for our efforts so we can continue to bring these podcasts? EMFRemedy.com/donate. EMFRemedy.com/donate. If you need my help, of course, get in touch. If you live in the majestic Inland Northwest, I can help with on-site evaluation and remediation. If you're remote, you can't find a qualified consultant, I can guide you through a remote evaluation if necessary. That is, after you've tried to find a local resource. And I am available for personal coaching with EMF issues. First session is free. Contact me through the website. So now I want to give an update on what I've learned over the last 10 months since I published the season 1 episode 10 on finding an excellent local EMF consultant. Here is and it has been a great season of learning, by the way, interacting with people through the podcast, and it's just been a huge blessing. There aren't as many as I'd hoped. That is a huge learning over the last 10 months. There are not as many as I had hoped. And I'm talking about EMF consultants of all types. There aren't as many EMF consultants of the type I'd consider to be qualified in the U.S. right now. The best consultants, in my opinion, have these three qualities. They've been damaged, they have a technical background, and most importantly, are gaining resilience. They're able to do more things. They're able to withstand more radiation exposure, gaining resilience against non-native EMF exposures. These kinds of people, the people who have those skills, they tend to be doing this as a ministry to help others, often at a great cost to their own well-being. They're not selfish hucksters who want to sell you a bunch of useless junk, which unfortunately I do see out there. Technical skills are critically important, and I think I underestimated that when I created that first podcast. Really, the excellent EMF consultants of whatever stripe have great technical skills. They know what it's like to suffer with electromagnetic poisoning. This is real for them. The ultimate show of competence is that they are able to gain resilience. That's the only way that you can really know that they really know their stuff. So now let's talk about building biologists as a resource. It's not about where you come from, it's about where you're going. And that's a quote from an unknown source, but I like it. Not about where you come from, it's about where you're going. So the thing about a program, any program, is that it's not just passing through a program. Even what I consider to be an excellent program like Building Biology that makes a successful EMF consultant. I know some Building Biology graduates that I feel comfortable referring clients to. I know some that I don't feel comfortable referring clients to. An excellent EMF consultant is where you find them. An excellent EMF consultant is where you find them. Learn enough about this topic to interview local candidates, speak with them personally, and then choose one. Yes, don't hesitate to include building biologists in your screening process. I think that would be an excellent list to start with. Learn enough about it to be able to interview them personally, make a decision, have an in-home assessment. There is no no way to move faster, more efficiently, more quickly, more cost-effectively than to have someone who knows what they're doing go in and perform an assessment and develop a custom remediation plan for your particular residence. All right, so I hope this has been helpful. Super looking forward to the next episode. Keith Cutter, emfremedy.com. See you next time.